I'm up first this morning, so I'd just like to say a very warm welcome to everyone that's joined us this morning, whether you're actually in the building. It's really lovely that we've managed to get in the building because we didn't manage it last week because of the weather. So it's lovely that that people are able to come out and about this morning. And of course, those of you who are watching on YouTube, it's always good to know that that you've joined us this morning. We know that there are people that watch regularly, but if you're a visitor or if you're a visitor to church, we just hope that you'll enjoy your time with us this morning. Is it too late to say Happy New Year? No. Happy New Year. So there was something on the radio about it, and I thought, you know, and they said, when is it appropriate to stop saying Happy New Year? When, and they said, well, whenever you want, really, because it is still very much a new year, isn't it? We don't know what it's going to bring, do we? We have mixed emotions about New Year, I think. Excitement or anxiety, a bit of both, and we need to keep the balance. But we are absolutely sure that God has a plan for each one of us, and, of course, for our church. Because I think probably in the foremost of our thoughts and prayers at the minute is our new minister, Jo, when she's going to be joining us, hopefully, in the very near future. We have the leadership team have been keeping in regular contact with her. And just to give you a brief update, what's happening. We know that she and John watch our services regularly on YouTube because she still feels as if she's already joined the church family. So, hello, Jo. Hope you're okay. Hope to see you soon. She can't wait to get here, but it's the logistics of it that's stopping them at the minute. They're desperately trying to sell their house down in Gloucestershire so that they can move up. So we would ask that to pray specifically for the quick sale of the house, I think. You know, God's obviously very much in this. And she's still very busy tying up loose ends in Gloucestershire continuing her work with the homeless. But she really does want to get with us as soon as possible. So we're having a Zoom meeting with her in the next couple of weeks. And hopefully that there may be some good news about her house. It's very frustrating for them. So we just pray for peace and wisdom and patience that the Lord is working out his purposes. But, of course, it's in his time, isn't it, and not ours. So we will just keep them in our prayers, and hopefully in a couple of weeks we'll have perhaps some news that she's actually a bit nearer getting here. So just a few notices for the week. Tomorrow the ladies are meeting for lunch down here at church, and that's at 1 o'clock, so come a bit earlier tomorrow. Tuesday the art playgroup at 10 o'clock and then again at 1 in the afternoon. The prayer meeting down here at church at 11 o'clock as usual, and the lunch club at 12. So that's kind of generally what's happening this week. Prayer meeting on Saturday at 9:30, and you're going to Treat and Grange. I put it down. Are you still going to Treat and Grange? Brilliant. Okay. So if all the information, of course, is on the website, Facebook page, but if you just need anything, just give us a ring. Yes. David is gesticulating at me. Come on. Let's have you.
Don't gesticulate very often. But I just thought I'd like to update you about our miracle working God and my wife. We went to the hospital to see the specialist on Christmas Eve, and the first thing he told us was your brain scan, all it showed was age-related wear and tear. So what that means, I don't know. But there you go. Age-related wear and tear. And that was after the fourth, the last lot of chemo. We assume that the last lot of chemo actually reduced even more the cancers they found in her lung. She was at the Methodist Church this morning in Killamarsh, because Sean O'Day is there, And she knows Sean from a long time ago. They've worked together. So she decided she'd go to the Methodist church. She was going to come to drag me out early because we have other things to do. But, you know, thank you for your prayers. God is good. Continue in prayer. Continue in prayer, because prayer is powerful and prayer changes things. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Barry and I had a visit from Claire from Rotherham Hospice on Monday. So Barry's now got his end of life. We've got his end of life pack at home, and she explained everything to us. So when Barry decides, and it's entirely up to Barry when he decides to stop his treatment, but we were told that once he stops his treatment, he'll go very, very quickly, which is a godsend. So as for continuous prayer for both of us, I ask for God's strength every day to see me through the day, and I thank you very much.
Morning, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. We thank you that you're with us through the ups and downs of life. We thank you for the good news of Sue and how her health has improved so much and that she's now able to go back to church and to meet with people. We pray, Lord, for Barbara as well, that you will help and strengthen her and Eric in this time, that you will be with them. We thank you, Lord, that we do serve a risen Saviour who is there for us, who gives us hope, who gives us eternal life when we're not on this world. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your many blessings. We thank you that whatever we go through, you are there with us. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for in this country. Yes, we've had ice and snow, but some parts of the world have had fires and all sorts of other things. So we are grateful for all that you have given us. And we just thank you. As we come to worship you now, we pray, Lord, that our worship will be pleasing to you, that we'll be able to draw into your presence, that we'll be able to learn more about you, to draw closer to you. And we thank you. In Romans 8, verse 35 to 39, read, "Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship, will distress or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are being killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Now in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor power, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." Father God, we thank you for our homes and families and friends, and we lift them up to you now. We think in this time as well of those who are affected by the wildfires in California, and pray for safe shelter and provision for those who have needed to evacuate. We pray for the most vulnerable, the elderly, small children, that you'll keep them safe. Father God, we pray for the firefighters, the first responders, and neighbours who are running into danger, trying to rescue others. Please keep them safe and courageous as they try and find missing and stranded people. Father God, we ask you will comfort those who have lost others and who are grieving. Draw near to them and help them to draw near to you through prayer and your word. Equip your church, please, to be your hands and feet, offering physical and spiritual help where they can. Father, we do pray for people who have lost homes and livelihoods and possessions. We pray for communities that have been destroyed. Grant them courage to face the long road ahead of rebuilding their lives. Comfort them in the way that only you can. Strengthen your church as it reaches out to the needy. Father, we also lift up to you those people who we know are in need or ill at this time. And we pray, Father God, that they will feel your loving arms around them. Please comfort, heal, provide and strengthen them. We thank you that you are always there with us and that your love for us is never ending. We thank you, Father God, for sending Jesus to this world so that we can have a relationship with you. We ask, Father, that you will forgive us for the things we've said and done that we shouldn't, and for the things we should have done that we haven't. Let's give you a moment of silence to take these to the cross of Jesus. Father, we thank you that you do forgive us when we ask. And we pray that you'll help us to become more and more like you every day. Jesus, you were there at the beginning and you're now with God. And as we move on to the next part of the service, we bless Junior Church as they go out. And we pray, Lord, that you will speak to us through your word, through your scripture, and through the message, that you would help us to take home with us what you want us to remember and what you want us to learn, but that we can be one step closer to you when we leave. Just bless us all, we pray, in your precious name. Amen. Deirdre is going to come and read from Philippians 1 for us.
Paul is writing from prison to the Philippians. This is chapter 1, verse 1 to 30. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints in Christ Jesus who are in Philippi, with the overseers and the deacons, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always, in every prayer of mine, for you all, making my prayer with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to the completion at the day of Jesus Christ. It is right for me to feel this way about you all, because I hold you in my heart, for you are all partakers with me of grace, both in my imprisonment and in the defence and confirmation of the gospel. For God is my witness, how I yearn for you all with the affection of Jesus Christ. And it is my prayer that your love may abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment, so that you may approve what is excellent, and so be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear. Some indeed preach Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here for the defence of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance, as it is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be at all ashamed,
but that with full courage now, as always, Christ will be honoured in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labour for me. Yet which shall I choose, I cannot tell. I'm hard pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all, for your progress and joy in the faith, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. Only let your manner of life be worthy of the gospel of Christ, so that whether I come and see you or am absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind, striving side by side for the faith of the gospel, and not frightened in anything by your opponents. This is a clear sign to them of their destruction, but of your salvation, and that from God. It has been granted to you that for the sake of Christ you should not only believe in him, but also suffer for his sake, engaged in the same conflict that you saw I had, and now hear that I still have.
Thank you. So over the next couple of months, we're going to look in more depth at several passages in Paul's letter to the Philippians, his letter to the church in Philippi. So today is the first in that series. This one has been called Joy in Christ's Gospel. Philippi was the first city Paul had visited on mainland Europe and the location of his first church plant. So it was a place that was special in his heart. Paul wrote this letter while he was under house prison arrest during his first imprisonment in Rome. Not an easy time for him. But despite Paul's circumstances, this letter is a letter of encouragement, both to the people of Philippi then and to us today. Paul wrote to encourage believers to maintain joy in suffering and to pursue unity in the church for the sake of the gospel spreading. This letter, it's only four chapters, uses the word joy and rejoice more than a dozen times, making this one of Paul's most uplifting letters. This letter to Philippi has two main theological themes, one of fellowship and one of the gospel. Throughout the letter, Philippians is about what it means to fully participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now we've sung songs in worship this morning containing the gospel message. We've sung about Jesus who was with God and Holy Spirit from the beginning, who came down to this world because of his immense love for us, because he wanted us to be free to have a relationship with him. We remembered in the lead up of Christmas particularly how Jesus came as a baby, human and divine. He grew, he lived, he taught, he ministered to others before dying on the cross at Calvary for our sins. He conquered death, rising again, and spent a little more time ministering here on earth before ascending back into heaven. Jesus paid the price for all the wrong we do, and all we have to do is ask him to forgive us and to seek him. There is so much joy in Christ's gospel, so much we have to be thankful for. If you don't know Jesus as your friend and saviour, then talk to one of us after the service or reach out if you're listening online. So thinking again about our passage, in Paul's day, Philippi was a large, prosperous city due to its location on the major east-west trade route. Philippi's location meant it was a strategic, it had a strategic role as a base for the gospel. It was the gateway to Europe. Luke writes about the expansion of the church in Acts. In Acts 16, we read about how Paul was prevented by the Holy Spirit from going into Asia, so Paul and his companions travelled west instead. Paul then received a vision of a man of Macedonia who begged him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." Acts 16, if you want to read it. So Paul went to Macedonia, and the church there in Philippi was founded. Today, we're going to explore Philippians 1, 12 to 26, a passage where Paul addresses the anxiety of the Philippians on his behalf. He knows they care about him, that they are worried about him, and worried about his imprisonment, or that his imprisonment might stop the gospel message spreading. This is a letter that challenges us to find joy in the most unexpected places. As we consider Paul's words, we'll discover how the gospel was still spreading in the early church, despite everything else that was happening. So just as an aside, a few weeks now since Christmas Day, how many of you played board games after your dinner? Or remember those years when you were a child that you had to? There's a lot to choose from nowadays. But one I want, sort of as an analogy to sort of my sermon, is Monopoly. You might remember the game well. There seems to be lots of different versions now. Do you remember playing really well, trying so hard to win, and then the worst thing happens? You end up with the go to jail card. And you have to follow the instructions immediately, abandon everything else that you were doing, and go to jail. Not a good place to be, and you're not there because you deserve to be, I don't think. Can't remember Monopoly that well. But I think you just end up in jail because it tells you you've got to go. So Paul, like the player in our Monopoly game, was travelling from city to city, preaching the gospel, planting churches, encouraging others, when suddenly he was arrested and thrown into jail. Suddenly, Paul couldn't carry on with his plans. Why did that happen? Paul writes in verse 12, "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Not sure what your response would have been, but I'm not sure I'd have been quite so positive. So let's look at 3 points. Finding purpose in Christ's mission, joy in suffering, and applying joy in Christ's gospel in our lives today. So finding purpose in Christ's mission. "Now I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that what has happened to me has actually served to advance the gospel." Verse 12. Paul knows his imprisonment and the possibility of his execution is distressing for the Philippians, but he wants to reassure them that his situation will not stop the gospel spreading. He saw his chains not as a setback, but as an opportunity to fulfil Christ's mission. Paul stays focused on what is important to him, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news of the life, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Imagine being chained in a dark, damp prison, your future uncertain. How would you feel? Paul was in this situation, and yet he was feeling an overwhelming sense of joy. This was the reality of the Apostle Paul as he wrote the letter to the Philippians. Despite his circumstances, Paul's words resonate with an unshakable joy that comes from his unwavering faith in Christ's gospel and from knowing God and Jesus. In verse 13, he states that he's in chains for Christ. This denotes something beyond the legal reasons for his imprisonment. Paul is not just in chains because of Jesus, but for Christ Jesus. Paul is an inspiration and an example to the people around him. Let's just remember Paul's background, Paul's testimony. Paul, originally Saul, was born in Tarsus, city in modern-day Turkey. He was a Roman citizen by birth, a devout Jew from the tribe of Benjamin. Before his conversion, Paul was a zealous Pharisee who persecuted people who believed in Jesus, who followed Jesus, who were Christians, believing them to be heretical. He participated in the stoning of Stephen, the first Christian martyr, read about in Acts 7. And then Paul's life changed. He met Jesus. Paul's dramatic conversion and the road to Damascus, as I'm sure you'll remember, he was going to arrest followers of Jesus. A bright light from heaven suddenly flashed around him, and he heard the voice of Jesus asking, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" Blinded by the light, Paul was led into Damascus, where Ananias prayed for healing for his blindness and baptized him. After his conversion, Paul began preaching about Jesus in Damascus and then later in Jerusalem. He faced opposition and threats, leading him to flee to Tarsus. Followers of Jesus were still being persecuted and killed. Paul embarked on several missionary journeys, spreading the gospel throughout the Roman Empire. And now Paul was in chains. But instead of complaining, Paul saw his imprisonment as a great gospel opportunity. God heard the gospel from Paul, and many of his fellow believers in Philippi were motivated to spread the gospel themselves. Their confidence in the Lord had been inspired by Paul's example. So his imprisonment actually led to more opportunities for the gospel to be spread. And this was no accident. We see in other places around the world that when the world wants to put the gospel behind bars, God uses such barriers to achieve his purpose. Some of the biggest churches today are in countries where people are persecuted for their faith in Jesus. We are so fortunate in this country that we are not persecuted for our faith. But we need to remember that today, as well as over the years, many people have risked death by following God and spreading the gospel. Some people are still martyred. So my second point is joy in suffering. Two words I don't think I would put together. Why do you think one of the biggest reasons people walk away from God is? I wonder if it's probably because of suffering and evil in this world. People wonder how a good God can allow suffering. Some people look fine on the outside, but they're sad and disappointed on the inside, dealing with grief and pain, unanswered prayers, frustration, sickness, and trials of various kinds. Life can be very cruel and difficult. As a church, the other year, we explored unanswered prayer and why God sometimes doesn't seem to answer our prayers. The gospel is the power of God to give us joy, even in the midst of our toughest seasons in life. Some of you here today, I know, can give testimony to God's compassion and strength through awful times. We all need to trust and to get to know God more through the ups and downs of life. In this passage, Paul has been falsely accused by religious leaders, imprisoned, chained, awaiting trial, and he does eventually die in captivity.
but he says that his circumstances have given him reasons to rejoice. I hope and pray that our circumstances are never the same as his, but we all do go through difficult times. So how can we experience joy in our suffering? Firstly, by looking to Christ and to continue to look to Christ. Paul's life goal was not to be successful, not to make more money, not to get settled or some career goal. In verse 21, he writes, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul's statement reflects a deep eternal perspective. So how can we adopt an eternal perspective in our daily lives, prioritizing spiritual growth, relationships, and actions that align with God's kingdom? Looking to anything other than Christ as a source of our life's goal may result in temporary happiness and worldly success, but not true joy. What do you long for that will make you the happiest person in the world? Do you want more and more of God, of Christ, in your life? If we do, then we need to spend more time with him to get to know him. And secondly, you experience joy when you look outside of yourself. Looking at your own pain and suffering leads us to despair and frustration quite often. So let's look outside ourselves to see what God is doing. Let's look and see how we can be an encouragement and blessing to others. Let's focus on Jesus. In Hebrews 12, verse 2, we're encouraged to fix our eyes on Jesus, who endured the cross for the joy set before him. The gospel gives us strength not only to endure pain and suffering, but to do it with great joy. If we think back again to Monopoly, the rules of the game have now changed. Every move that your opponent now makes serves to further your progress, even when you have been dealt the go-to-jail card. Maybe a better game. When we are in Christ Jesus, no matter what has happened in our lives, no matter how painful, embarrassing, difficult the experiences that we've been through, God can use them for good. Then applying joy in Christ's gospel to our lives today. Paul embraced difficult circumstances and found joy in his imprisonment because it advanced the gospel. Can I find purpose and joy in our difficult circumstances by seeing them as an opportunity to share Christ's love? Can we, instead of being discouraged by challenges, ask ourselves how these situations can be used to glorify God and to further his kingdom? Paul spoke boldly. Paul's imprisonment encouraged others to speak the gospel more fearlessly. Can we be bolder in our faith and share the gospel with others, despite potential obstacles and oppositions? Paul's found joy in Christ's mission. Paul rejoiced in the fact that Christ was being preached regardless of motives in that passage. There are many different ways to reach out to others. So how can we be involved? Paul encourages others, and that's something we can all do. Paul's imprisonment served to encourage and impart courage and boldness to all believers. Can you and I use our experiences and testimonies to encourage fellow believers, to strengthen their faith and confidence in sharing the gospel? Paul opened his letter to the church in Philippi, presenting Christ as the believer's life purpose. The gospel of Jesus Christ is the most important message anyone could hear or give. In Paul's view, advancing the cause of Christ was his only reason for living. He urged the Philippians to follow his example, to stand firm, strive together for the faith of the gospel, even in the face of opposition and persecution. This mindset led Paul to the conclusion that it was a privilege to suffer for Christ's sake, if that's what it would take for others to hear. The world is full of worthy causes that give people a sense of purpose, but nothing offers fulfillment like a life of faith and hope in Jesus Christ. He is the only person in life that continues beyond your life in this world. We have the joy of knowing that we'll spend eternity with him if he is our friend, our Lord, our Saviour. What is your purpose for living? Even when life is difficult, we can look for opportunities to tell others about the joy of knowing Jesus. Paul's unwavering commitment to Christ gave him the strength to persevere through his trials. In verse 21, Paul shows his complete assurance of this. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. His words emphasize that all his hope is bound up with Christ. And if we are living in Christ, for Christ, by Christ, through Christ, it is all gain. Even in death, Paul regards even death as gain, because he will go to be with Christ. And this is the all-surpassing gain. Whether you live or even die, Christ will make you ready and he will be exalted in you. Paul is faced with a difficult choice. Verse 22, if I am to go on living in this body, this will mean fruitful labour for me. Yet, what shall I choose? I do not know. I am torn between the two. Not sure in reality how much choice Paul actually had, but he considers the different choices between dying, which would mean eternal life with Christ, or remaining with his brothers and sisters to expand the gospel on this earth. Verse 24, it is more necessary for you that I remain in the body. Here is Paul, as ever, not wanting to escape his suffering through death, but thinking gospel first, not Paul first. The meaning of the word depart is connected with weighing anchor before a ship departs from the harbour. Departing in this sense means to go towards a destination, not away from something. The emphasis for Paul is on his departure to be with Christ, which is better by far. But he sees it as more necessary that he remains in the body for the benefits of the church. Here in prison, faced with these two choices, either to depart or to be with Christ or remain for the benefit of the church, he chooses the choice that he longs for the church to be delivered and to be fruitful. The gospel is his very being. Verse 25-26, convinced of this, I know that I will remain and I will continue with you, all of you, for your progress and joy in faith, so that through my being with you again, your boasting in Christ Jesus will abound on account of me. It is because he was in chains that he's able to write this letter. If he had not, his words might never have got written down, and the church might never have benefited from this letter. Paul's desire was that the church would grow stronger in Christ Jesus as a result of his letter, that they would give praise to Christ. Paul was emphasizing here that the combination of their prayers and his suffering in prison would actually result in his deliverance, because of the prayers of the church in Philippi, Paul was able to continue his gospel outreach even whilst in prison. And this encouraged the church to continue praying and continue to spread the gospel message. So it's gone all the way around. Praying for each other is important, and we need to continue praying for each other. So in conclusion, Paul shares his perspective of his imprisonment, emphasising that his circumstances have actually served to advance the gospel. Paul's joy in Christ's gospel is evident throughout the passage, and he encourages believers to remain focused on the mission of spreading the good news, regardless of their situations. We see advancements of the gospel, Christ being preached, and the importance of living for Christ. So Paul's ultimate focus is on Christ being exalted, whether by life or by death. It is, for me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So there is purpose for us in Christ's mission. We have a job to do, and we can tell our friends, we can be involved in various activities that go on in church, and we can, just by our lives and our time with family, friends, show God's love to others. Let's just pray. Lord God, we thank you that we have your word, that we can read about people who have lived this life before us, and how they have had a relationship with you, how through the difficult times and the easy times, they've been able to turn to you, and that they can tell us of how you have worked in their lives to bring about your purpose. We thank you that we do have your gospel message, that we can tell needy and people in need, that people will want to turn to you. Lord, just give us the opportunities to speak to others, the opportunities to show your love through kindness to others, and help us to pray for people who don't know you, but for each other as well, that we will be an encouragement and a support to each other through all that we go through. We do thank you, Lord, that you are in our lives and that you are there helping us day by day. Amen. As we go from today, we just pray, Lord, that you will help us, give us the boldness we need to share your gospel with others so that they may know the joy of knowing you as their friend, their Lord, and their Saviour. Let's just join together with the grace.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all, evermore.